This is a little story for the archivist in particular. A friend of mine was leaving an apartment and therefore clearing out his furniture. He came to a bureau, looked in the top drawer of the bureau, and lo and behold, there was a ticket from the shoe repair shop. He noticed on the ticket that it was 10 years old. It had been saved. He decided he'd play a trick on the shoe repair shop, so he took the ticket into him and he handed it across the counter and he said, could I have my shoes, please? Well, the shoe repair guy took the ticket, went into the back room, and he came back out about 2 minutes later and he said, they'll be ready next Tuesday. The power of saving materials and making them useful. We are delighted to welcome you to this conference on states' impacts on federal education policy. Many of you were with us last evening, and we got a chance to get acquainted and to get thinking about the subject, and we are so pleased that you've made the commitment to be with us for the session today. For several years now, a small group of advisors, together with our colleagues at the State Archives in New York, have been thinking about this subject, thinking about what kind of research should be done, what kind of archival work needs to be done, and of course, most important, what's the purpose of it all in the first instance? To try to help inform future directions of the design of education federalism. This conference is really an extension of the kind of activity that the advisors have been undertaking, which has been a process of thinking about the issues and trying to see whether we could contribute in some way to increasing the attention of our country and particularly of our policymakers on the critical issues of designing education federalism. Now, I have provided for you in advance by email, and it's also in your black packets, a text which is an introduction to this conference. We put it out in advance so that we would not have to take the time of going through the detail level that's there, and so that it would provide you a kind of advance notice of what our perspective is on this subject. If you didn't see it or read it in the email form, there's a copy of the introduction which is in your packet. And while I'm making some brief get-going comments here this morning, read on if you haven't had a chance to look at it, or read a second time. It's better the second time that you read it. So try it again if you didn't get to it the first time. While I make just a few points about why we're here and what we hope to accomplish. Our objectives have been stated over and over again in all the advanced materials for this particular conference, and I just noted them. It is to promote the collection of resource materials through archiving so that they are genuinely accessible, particularly materials about states and states' impacts. Secondly, to try to help promote the development of a research agenda and encourage more persons to be involved with research about the federalism issues. And thirdly, and perhaps it should go around first, is to generally raise the awareness among policymakers what the value of such work could be for them. Our perspective is from that of the states and the states' impact. As you well know, most of the research that gets done on federal programs and the states and the localities focuses on the direction of the federal government impact on the states and localities. There's not that much that really focuses on what the states' intentions, what the states' actions have been as partners in trying to develop the federal policies, either through advocacy or through the examples of their programs or through implementation strategies. And we believe that it was important to try to get that focus so that that perspective could be linked with other research as we're attempting to inform what is the most effective kind of way to be able to put together the design of education federalism. Now, just a word about the design of education federalism. We're talking here primarily about the institutional arrangements, the relative responsibilities among the three levels of government. And that's elaborated in the document. I won't add more about that at this particular point. A word or two about why this topic is so important now. We're in the city where No Child Left Behind reauthorization, ESEA reauthorization, has been bubbling along for quite a while. And it's on everybody's mind to a certain extent. And of course, pivotal to that reauthorization are issues of federalism. What levels of responsibility should be assigned to the different levels of government? We did not start this project with the intention that the focus was solely on ESEA. We're looking across the board at different forms of federalism and different kinds of acts. But the heightened interest right now in ESEA, No Child Left Behind reauthorization, seems to me gives a particular boost to this topic. For those of us who've been around this business for 50 years, and there are several in the room who have been in it for that long, we have seen a tremendous change in relative responsibility of roles among the levels of government over this period and through a whole variety of different acts. And the tendency has been in the country for greater nationalization of problem solving. This is part of our global picture, the economy, security issues, environmental issues, you name it, telecommunications. Everything is pushing us in the direction for more national solutions. This is not a project which is anti-national. This is not a project which is anti-federal. This is a project which is, given the fact that this increase in national solutions is probably going to continue, the question is, how do you make national or nationwide decisions in a federal system which much more effectively employs the capacities and the resources at the different levels of government? And that's why we are here to take up this topic in a particular way. We've had this wonderful group of advisors who has been helping us with the project. They are all named in the materials, and with forgiveness on their part, I will not rename them now. I'll do that a little bit later in the conference. They have provided splendid help in designing the way we would approach the topic, and many of them are here in prominent roles for this conference. We appreciate so much our presenters and discussants who are with us for the three sessions. We appreciate very much having with us a special group of about 13 doctoral or postdoctoral candidates who are from seven different universities around the country, and they're here with the good generosity of the Spencer Foundation, provided transportation for them to be with us. And we're very, very pleased for the assistance of our table discussion leaders, but most of all, we appreciate what everybody is doing by way of committing some time here. We have four sessions through the day. These three sessions, to start with, present different approaches to a research agenda. The first one on the overall changing nature of federalism and a way to analyze that. The second one dealing with a more specific theme, if you will, of standards-based reform as a case study, and the third one on the education of children who are disabled. Through those three frames or sessions, to draw out from you your own ideas about whether these are the right kinds of topics, whether we should change them, your own ideas about how we can encourage both the archiving and the research components. One concluding comment about our last session. When we planned this session, we figured that ESEA would have been reauthorized already. We were planning this a year ago. And that was a pretty reasonable prospect. Obviously, it is not. And we know that through this day, there will be lots of points made about how this discussion of federalism has an impact or might have an impact on that reauthorization. We want to capture those points while you're at your discussion tables, and we've set a concluding session this afternoon as an opportunity for some of us who are the advisors or moderators to kind of sense what are the key questions, what are the key recommendations, bring them back with a little bit of a synthesis in the afternoon, and then have further discussion from the floor on those points. The project never set out to make a recommendation or set of proposals on ESEA reauthorization. And we're not going to do this following this conference. So we're not trying to drive for any consensus. We are trying to solicit ideas and concepts about federalism that might inform that. Well, thank you very kindly for joining us and for the chance for me just to give you a little bit of an oral orientation. The key partners in this whole program are at the State Archives in New York State. We started the project with money from the Wallace Foundation and went to the archives because it was so important that we be anchored in where the base materials would be, not just for the next reauthorization, but for time after time after time, to capture a record of perhaps some 50 years. And it's my privilege to present to you the Director of Operations at the State Archives and the Director of this project, Kathleen Rowe. Kathleen?
Thank you. I want to welcome all of you on behalf of my department, the New York State Education Department. We're an unusual archives in that we are in a state education department, and by our feeling, it's a very happy placement. Our Commissioner Richard Mills, my Deputy Commissioner Jeffrey Cannell, and as you can tell, I'm not Christine Ward. If you know Chris, you know there's a big difference. She's very elegant, and I'm just me. So, sorry, but Chris had an unfortunate fire in her home last week and could not come. She's right now trashing out her second floor of her home and sends her regards, but I'm stepping in for her. A number of people have said to me during the course of last evening and in past discussions, why would the State Archives or any archival institution get involved in this project? What are you doing there? Several people said, why you? Why would you be there? Not me personally, although they may have said that also. But there are really three primary reasons. And underlying much of this conference, there's from our perspective, a very important archival goal going on while you're talking about policy. There's an archival piece through all of this. The first reason we've been involved in this project, and we're very welcoming to it when the idea first arose was my former commissioner, so I still call him Commissioner Ambach, although I'm trying not to do that. He said not to, but sometimes we slip. Anyway, what we're trying to do, what we tried to conceive of in this project, was to ensure that a full historical record survives to document this very important issue of education policy. When we looked at our own holdings in the State Archives, when we looked at through databases and all kinds of resources nationally, in many, many areas, unfortunately, there are gaps in the historical record. This is one of those areas. You might not think so, but the truth is it's kind of eclectic and peculiar what has survived or not survived relating to education policy. Those gaps are really important that we fill. One of the other things that kind of drives our documentation issue is that many people think, you know, archives are old stuff. If you say archives, people envision the Declaration of Independence, the U and A documents, the old stuff, you know. Very, very few of us even like the idea that anything post-1950 is archival or historical, but I'm here to tell you as a gray-haired woman, it is true, it's archival, it is historical. Some of you have been part of that, some of you are observing that, but the post-World War II period is historical, and we really need to save that record. There, as I said, a real limitation in what's out there in the fullness of the record. We've done some work in this project, in the archival component of it, to try and look at that. And if you check out our website, we've tried to identify what's out there on education policy. Take a look at it. You will see exactly what I'm telling you. The gaps are there, and we need to fill those gaps. It's important for us to ensure that that record is full, and that's a really primary motivator for us. The second concern we have relates to, for us as archivists, is that not only should the records survive, but someone has to be able to find them. In particular, I'm interested in some of our Spencer fellows who have to try and find that stuff, or people like Carl Kasel who've been researching for years, trying to find that stuff and use it. And frankly, federal and state agencies alone, not including other organizations, are producing staggering amounts of information in paper and particularly now in electronic records form. Only 2 to 3% of that actually ever comes to an archives. Somebody has to decide what's important, and somebody has to see it survives. The National Archives itself has 5 billion modern paper records. That is, you know, post-war period, and they're all stored in 30 buildings around the country. My own institution has over 100 million modern paper records, 100 million items. That's a stunning amount, and that's one state and one country. It's further complicated by the increasing amount of electronic information that's out there, so that any researcher in education policy is faced with literally thousands of boxes, tens to hundreds of thousands of folders, and incredible numbers of bytes and gigabytes and all the way through those other bytes of information to try and deal with. How do we as archivists capture that information, provide it to you as researchers, and make it accessible in any kind of a way that's humanly possible to conceive of or work with? That's our second challenge. And we have been trying to do that with some of the records we've been describing in New York, trying to model a method for bringing out the important subjects, which the advisors have been helpful in getting us to, and then making it accessible. So there's another area that we want to explore and hear from you about in the future. The third reason that we're doing this project is that archival work is not just about handling things from the past. We don't sit quietly in our repositories and wait for somebody to dump things on us, or at least some of us don't. What we're trying to do with this project is to raise awareness that you need to be, and probably every one of you knows of some stash of records that are out there that really need to be preserved. If agencies and organizations and individuals really don't think about preserving records, it won't happen. Things will get thrown out, things will get lost along the way. Our project has really focused on raising some awareness. Our staff have talked with some of the major national education organizations, with state agencies, with research and issues-oriented groups to try and discuss with them moving their records into archival repositories, and not New York's. I am not out to create the education policy archives of the world. I'm just here to take care of New York because that's what the governor said I should do, and I will do what my governor said. What we want to do, though, is see that other archives... I will! tell him, please stop. Anyway, that's our mandate is New York. But we know that those records are too important. You can't understand New York's without the whole context. So what we're trying to do is match up repositories and records holders. We know our colleagues. We know where you can go with your records. And what we're trying to do is encourage those records to be taken into an institution somewhere that's responsible and appropriate. So that's a big part of what we're doing. Our hope for this conference during the rest of the day is that as you discuss the issues in each session, you'll make notes to yourself and pass them on to us. In your folder, there's a sheet where you can make notes about research ideas you think would be useful, and particularly about archival collections or collections of records that you believe are out there that perhaps we can use that information to connect people and repositories together to help further preserve the record. So please take advantage of that sheet. We'd really appreciate it. And please keep that as the subtext through your conversations. We look forward to this day's discussion, and we've found that it's been a wonderful way for us to learn about education policy. You know, my own research was in history of the Depression, and I love being depressed. So it was a great experience for me, but, you know, to learn about other people's fields of study is extremely important. The only way archivists can know what's best to keep is by knowing what's of importance to researchers and to the study of this area. So we look to you and we appreciate your input, and we're delighted to have you here. Please feel free to contact any of us during the conference. Thank you.